Concerns around rental affordability and housing insecurity in South Australia continue to rise as the state reaches 17,000 people on the waiting list for public housing, with 4,000 in Category 1. A new report from a peak South Australian welfare body has ranked state electorates in metropolitan Adelaide by rental affordability impact, calling for SAMPs representing the worst-hit areas to spearhead urgent action to ease the burden for renters. The Wire looks further into the unfolding rental crisis in the state.
We've been saying for some time that one of the key ways that we think government needs to address that is by increasing the supply of public housing. But one of the other things that the government is engaged in doing in South Australia at the moment is that they've opened up the Residential Tenancies Act. In that context, we think there's a real opportunity for them to do some work on protecting affordability for those renters who are currently having the hardest time.
I understand that there were some criticisms on the state government's proposed reforms to the Residential Tenancies Act. So could you elaborate on those criticisms?
I think from our perspective, they just didn't go far enough. Most of the recommendations that they brought forward coming out of the review that they did, the number of submissions that were provided to the government, they took up issues that were relatively easy, and in some instances also took up issues but didn't quite go far enough. So a good example of that is that we saw the Premier come out and say that they were banning rent bidding. And of course, rent bidding is an appalling process, particularly for those groups of people that have really struggled to find their way into a property. What the proposal was, they were saying they weren't allowed to have public auctions, but in fact, people were still able to provide private offers to land agents behind the door, if you like. In practice, that's not going to prevent rent bidding. That's just kind of driving the rent bidding and making it less transparent. Of course, we don't think that that's appropriate. And so we think on an issue like that, the government ought to be moving very quickly to simply ban it altogether and say, no, a landlord is able to advertise what they believe is a fair and reasonable price for their property. But at no point in time should there be any process that increases the likelihood of the rental costs increasing.
What else do you think needs to be addressed with this reform to further protect renters?
We think that there's probably a series of other things that can be done. One of the things that has happened and one of the observations that we made in this report was that, in fact, CPI for rentals was increasing far faster than the actual rate of inflation. So when you include public housing rentals, the CPI for rentals had increased by nearly 5% in the year to December 22. But if you focused in on the new private rental tenancies across metropolitan Adelaide, they went up by 14.3%. Now, that's a phenomenally big jump in rental costs. We believe on the back of that, that's more evidence that the government should be moving to create a rent cap or some sort of capping process that ensures that rents don't simply get inflated way beyond people's capacity to pay.
With rent and cost of living increasing, what properties would actually be available for some people on a low income or on welfare payments?
We know that there'd just be very few properties in the market. We know that South Australia, and particularly metropolitan Adelaide, has a very small number of vacancies in the rental property market. We know that the government has made a commitment to build some additional public housing, but those are yet to come. And those 500 houses at this point in time is a welcome deposit, but it's nothing like the amount of public housing that really needs to be built in order to ensure there is proper supply for people into the future. And I think the other thing that we've been saying to the government is that, of course, we not only need to, as we're building these properties, to think about how much it costs to build the properties, we have to think about how much it costs to live in these properties. And one of the issues for many low-income households, most of whom are in rental accommodation, is that they're in properties that are energy inefficient. One of the things that we've said is that they should also be thinking about, with the Residential Tenancies Act, introducing rules that require levels of energy efficiency to be available to in rental properties, and that that should be made transparent when the property comes up for rent. We think that that would actually be very helpful to renters in preventing some of those cost of living increases really impacting in the way that they are at the moment.
Mm-hmm. You've noted here that some people are spending more than 30% of their income on housing, and then compounded with those rising costs of living, there's not a lot left over. So what are these people to do when they're put in those dire situations?
This is the complexity, and I suppose this is where we need our federal government to be thinking very carefully about the rate of income support payments. We've argued together with ACOS and a whole number of people over many years now that rates of income support available are completely inadequate, particularly when it comes to addressing this issue of having to find a place to rent. In that context, we think the biggest move that the federal government can make to help renters in South Australia and to help renters across the nation is to increase the rates of income support to a livable level. And we think that's at least $70 to $80 a day that they need to have available in order to be able to get by and cover the basics. And the other thing that the federal government should be moving on is increasing the rate of Commonwealth rent assistance, which has stayed pretty stagnant for a very long time now. And of course, we've seen massive increases in the cost of rental accommodation, and so it hasn't kept up in any way with the real costs that people are facing in order to keep a roof over their heads, let alone a roof that is energy efficient, safe and secure.
The ABS has actually just recently released data showing increasing rates of homelessness in South Australia. You know, what consequences could further occur if urgent action isn't taken to address rental affordability right now?
Essentially, it means that we're going to have more and more people who find themselves homeless. And if they're not homeless, meaning they find themselves living on the streets, they're living in their cars, or they're couch surfing, borrowing someone's caravan, or they're living three families to a home in a property that just isn't designed to accommodate that many people. And that, of course, creates enormous hardship for those people, increases the levels of stress that they'd be experiencing for those people that find themselves on the street. And indeed, in many of those circumstances, they won't be taking care of themselves properly. If they have medical and health conditions that need treatment, they aren't always taking care to ensure that they're taking the medicines that they're meant to be taking or have access for. And of course, that in the end leads to people ending up in our hospital system. If you end up in our hospital system, it's a very expensive place for us to provide you with a roof over your head. We should be doing as much as we possibly can to prevent that from happening. If we don't intervene now, we're actually going to be faced with a real increase in the number of people who are in our hospital system because they've been on the end of this long tail of rental inaffordability and all of the stresses and consequences that go with that.
CEO of South Australian Council of Social Services, Ross Womersley, ending that report with The Wire's Emma Watzke.